This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil karim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma ihdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Inshallah, we'll continue with our study of the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil, Cain and Abel, that is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ, and recite to them the story of Adam's two sons in truth, إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. When they both offered a sacrifice to Allah, and it was accepted from one of them, but was not accepted from the other. قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Said the latter, I will kill you. Said the former, indeed, Allah only accepts from the righteous who fear Him. So far in the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, we have learned about how both the sons offered a sacrifice, and one of them, his sacrifice was accepted, and the other one, his sacrifice was not accepted. The one whose sacrifice was not accepted became jealous and became very angry, and this was Qabil, Cain. And that jealousy led him to become very antagonistic towards his brother, and he basically threatened to kill him. Now we see that Habil, Abel, in return, advised him very gently that if your sacrifice was not accepted, then that is not my fault. The problem is actually in you, because إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the righteous. So instead of being angry with me and blaming me for your problems, some introspection is required over here. A lot of people make this mistake in their life, that when things don't go according to their wishes, according to their plan, instead of taking any sense of responsibility and instead of doing any kind of introspection, they find someone to blame. They find someone to accuse. And then they insult them, they attack them, and they think that, you know, they are the source of all evil. Whereas this does not solve the problem at all. If you don't look into the mirror and you don't acknowledge what needs to be fixed inside of you, then blaming other people and, you know, hurling abuses at them and showing anger at them and taking revenge from them is not going to solve the problem. So we see over here that Habil, Abel, advised his brother very gently that إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah only accepts from those who are righteous. So you should be of those who are righteous and improve your intention and also the manner in which you offer sacrifice to Allah Azza wa Jal. And don't be angry at me. And then he said, in verse number 28, we learn, لئن بسطت إلي يدك لتقتلني ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك إني أخاف الله رب العالمين. He said, if you should raise your hand against me to kill me, I shall not raise my hand against you to kill you. Indeed, I fear Allah, Lord of the worlds. So here, Habil is basically reminding Qabil of how brothers should be with one another. So he said that if you are going to reach out with your hand to kill me, I am not going to reach out with my hand towards you in order to kill you because you are my brother. And a brother does not kill his own brother. I am not that person who will act in opposition to Allah's command and commit such injustice against my own brother. I am not going to respond to your evil with another evil. I am not going to become like you in sin. And I am not going to even try to kill you because killing you is unlawful on me. And I am afraid of Allah. Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. So I am not going to disobey him. I am not going to do what you have intended to do. Rather, I will be patient in response and I will expect reward from Allah. So let's look at verse number 28 in more detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي. Habil said, the one whose sacrifice was accepted and the one who was threatened with murder, he said in response that if you extend your hand towards me in order to kill me, مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ, I am not going to extend my hand towards you لِأَقْتُلَكَ in order to kill you. Here, he says that if you extend your hand to kill me, I am not going to extend my hand to kill you. بَسْطُ الْيَدْ, extend one's hand. It basically means to reach out with one's hand towards something or towards someone. So to extend one's hand towards another, why? In order to assault them, in order to slap them, in order to hit them, in order to punch them, all right? In order to intentionally inflict some kind of harm on them. This is what bastul yad is. And here, what is meant is that if you are going to initiate the attack, if you're going to be the first one to attack me in order to kill me, and if out of your jealousy and rage you are going to try to kill me, I am not going to be the first to attack you and to try to kill you. No, I am not going to be the first one to do that. Imagine if you find out someone is planning to attack you, what would you do? You would want to attack them before they are able to attack you, right? So Habil Abel says over here that he is not going to do that. Now, this does not mean that I am not going to defend myself. No. What it means is that I will not initiate. I will not be the first to assault. Okay? So Habil is negating, initiating the attack, not self-defense. Okay? So مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. SubhanAllah. This is so powerful. And you forgot about a physical altercation. Sometimes, in an argument even, if someone says to us something that is upsetting, that is hurtful, that is annoying, that is untrue, that is accusatory, what happens? We become so angry and we become more harsh at times, or we want to come across in a very strong and powerful way so that they're not able to say anything more. The idea over here is that sometimes we want to respond or initiate a conversation so strongly, so harshly, that we basically want to, destroy the other person so that they have no courage, no guts to, say anything to us. But look at Habil. He says that I am not going to initiate the attack. I am not going to be the first one to attack you. Okay? Now, Qabil had said very emphatically, very strongly, لأقتلنك, that I am surely, definitely, by Allah, I am going to kill you. And Habil Abel also responds very emphatically, لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ, that surely, by Allah, if you extend your hand towards me in order to kill me, if you initiate the attack, by Allah, I am not going to be the one to initiate it. I am not going to be the first one to strike here. You can be the first one. I am not going to be the first one to strike. Look at the difference between their words, between the way in which they speak. One is saying, I am going to kill you. And the other is saying, I am not going to reach out with my hand in order to kill you. I'm not going to do that. And this is because he is a muttaqi. He is someone who fears Allah. So yes, taqwa is hahuna, it is in the heart. But remember, when something is in the heart, it is visible on the limbs. Okay, it impacts the limbs. So we can see over here that because Habil truly feared Allah, what happened? That fear of Allah was visible in his behavior, in his speech. So he says, I am not even going to initiate the attack. I am not going to be the first to strike. He's so careful in the way that he talks. Now, there's another interpretation of this. Some say that Habil meant that he was not going to even defend himself. Okay? And if you extend your hand in order to assault me, I am not going to extend my hand in order to assault you, meaning I am not going to attack in response. I am not going to fight back. Okay? Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, said that out of the two brothers, the one who was killed was actually stronger. But he did not extend his hand because he wanted to avoid sin at all costs. And Mujahid explained that this was in the Sharia of Adam alayhi salam, that the one under attack should not fight back. And instead, he should be patient and expect reward from Allah. But remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded us that the one under attack should not surrender himself to the attacker. Meaning, he should fight back. He should defend himself. So for example, if someone tries to snatch away your bag, okay, you're not just going to let them take it away. No, you're going to fight back. You're going to hold it tight. And if you can, you can even strike the other person with your bag or kick them or something like that. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ told us to do. That basically we should not surrender ourselves to the one who is being violent towards us. We have to defend ourselves. We should fight back. And we learn in a hadith that if a person is killed while they are defending themselves, then they are a martyr. So in a hadith we learn, this hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud, the Prophet ﷺ said that he who is killed while protecting his property is a martyr. And he who is killed while defending his family or his blood or his religion is a martyr. Patience does not mean that someone is attacking you and you're just taking the beating. No. You have to defend yourself. You have to fight back. You cannot just surrender yourself to someone who is being violent. Because if you don't, then what's going to happen? Today they're assaulting you. Tomorrow they'll assault someone else and someone else and someone else. You have to fight them back in order to make them realize that this is not how you should live. This is not how things are done. This is not okay. And defending oneself in such a situation means that one should try to overcome the other, okay, and basically pin them down without attempting to kill them, without the intention to kill them. The intention should be to fight back, okay, in order to chase away the attacker, in order to pin them down, or in order to safely get away. The intention should not be to kill the attacker. Okay? The intention should be to disarm the attacker, tie his hands, things like that, but not to kill him. But if the attacker is not leaving him, and the only way to defend oneself is to kill the attacker, then the ulama say it is permissible to do that, and there is no blood money over there. It is permissible to hit back, okay, to strike, to kick All right, to, for example, bite or do something. Like, for example, if someone is, holding your hand, okay, violently, they're not letting you go. Can you bite their arm or their hand so that they let you go? Yes, you can. You have your keys in your hand. Can you strike them in such a way that, they let you go? Yes. Use a sharp object in self-defense in order to chase the attacker away? Yes, that is permissible. So, first of all, the intention should not be to kill, but if it ends up happening that the only way to get the attacker away or to save yourself from the attacker is to do something very strong and that ends up killing the attacker, then you're not at fault. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. We learn in a hadith that a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah, what do you think? If a man comes to me in order to steal my possession, what should I do? If someone comes to me in order to steal my property, take it away from me, what should I do?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not surrender your property to him." The man said, "What if he fights me?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Then fight him." The man said, "What do you think if I am killed?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Then you would be a martyr." The man said, "What do you think of him if I kill him?" If you're telling me that I should fight him back, and in the process, if I am killed, I'm a martyr, what if I end up killing him? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he would be in the fire. So the one who strikes the other in order to defend himself, in order to respond to, physical violence, in order to protect oneself from further attack, then such a person is not guilty of sin. There's another hadith in Sahih Bukhari in which we learned that a man bit another man's hand. Okay, what's happening? A man bit another man's hand. So the man whose hand was being bit, of course, pulled out his hand by force. And when he did that, the man who was biting him, his two teeth fell out. Okay, so they brought their case to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because any for there is qisas, right? Any for a tooth for tooth. So the one whose teeth fell out came and said that, my teeth have fallen out because this man pulled his hand out of my mouth while I was biting him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You bit his brother, sorry, you bit your brother like a camel bites. Go away. There is no diyah for you. There's no qisas over here. There's no revenge over here because you were biting him like a camel bites." So, what did you expect him to do? Continue to be bit or protect himself? And of course, if he's going to protect himself, he's going to pull out his hand. And if he pulls out his hand and your teeth come out, the fault is not his. The fault is yours. Why were you biting him in the first place? You're the aggressor over here. He was only defending himself. Right? But remember that in a time of tribulation, in a time of fitna, it is permissible to not fight back. Why? In order to avoid further violence, like Uthman radiallahu anhu did. Okay? When the rebels had basically come and surrounded his house and they were becoming violent, increasingly violent by the day. And the companions, the people around Uthman radiallahu anhu, they wanted to fight those rebels and punish them. Uthman radiallahu anhu said, "No, let them be." And eventually, there came a point when those rebels basically entered into the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu and killed him. Why did Uthman radiallahu anhu not fight back over here? Because if he fought back, what would happen? All these rebels would come into Medina, all right? This would end up causing a war inside of Medina, within the city of Medina. There would be so much bloodshed. No one would be safe in their homes. So Uthman radiallahu anhu did not want such violence within the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in a time of peace, in a time of security, Okay, fighting back is necessary. In a time of fitna, okay, one should not fight back. But in a time of security and peace, one should fight back. So basically, in different situations, the ruling is different. We learn in a hadith about how Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned regarding, you know, the different tribulations that will happen before the Day of Judgment. Okay, and he explained it in great detail, and he mentioned that at such a time, a person should basically break their bow, meaning their bow and arrow, cut the strings, and strike their sword against the rocks, meaning break their swords. Right? Why? So that they should not partake in any kind of physical violence whatsoever. And he said that if anyone enters upon one of you, and you're not going out to fight people, you have broken your weapons and you're just sitting at home, you're minding your own business. Okay? Then, if someone enters upon any one of you, let him be like the better of the two sons of Adam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let him be the better of the two sons of Adam alaihi wasallam, meaning he should not fight back. And if he gets killed, then let him be killed. Because in a time of fitna, this is what should be done. Don't add to the violence. Violence is only to be used in order to stop further violence. But if the use of violence is going to perpetuate and increase violence, then violence should not be used over there. So here, Habil, Abel, he said that I am not going to strike you. I am not going to try to kill you, because inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. Indeed, I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Now, this is very important. We learn over here the reason behind why Habil said that he was not going to strike his brother. He was not going to try to kill him. He's making it clear that I am going to refrain from fighting back, not because I'm afraid of you, or not because I am unable to fight, not because I am weak. No, I choose nonviolence. Why? Out of the fear of Allah. Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. And isn't this real strength? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the strong person is who? The one who can control his anger, right? So Habil, as we learn from the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he was actually the stronger brother. He was actually the one who was more physically capable. Okay, if he were to fight, he would easily be able to kill Qabil. If he were to hit back, it wouldn't be difficult for him to kill Qabil. But he chose not to, not out of weakness or fear or inability, but because of the fear of Allah. Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. And this shows us that Habil was not just physically strong, he was also emotionally very strong, that he was able to control his emotions. And when he said, ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك, he made it clear to his brother why he would not fight back. Right? That إني أخاف الله رب العالمين. That this is not cowardice or weakness, but the fear of Allah. That I do not want to end up committing murder that Allah has forbidden. And in the statement was also a reminder to his brother that even though I am able to fight back, I am not going to fight back. I am not going to try to kill you because I fear Allah. So he's indirectly reminding his brother that you should also fear Allah. You should also fear Allah. And he says, Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. He says, Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And if Allah is the Lord of the worlds, that means that you cannot escape Allah. So think about what you're doing. You might act on your anger and jealousy and, you know, feel momentarily satisfied, but Can you escape Allah, the Lord of the worlds? You cannot. You cannot escape the consequences then. Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. And this is such a powerful statement. You see, each one of us ends up in a situation where we feel angry, where we feel really big emotions inside of us, and we want to act on impulse, right? So in a situation like that, say such statements that help you control yourself, help you regulate not only your emotions, but also your behavior. Seek refuge with Allah. Say things like, I fear Allah. Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. Right? When Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was invited to commit sin, what did he say? Ma'adallah. Ma'adallah. I seek refuge with Allah. Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwai. Innahu la yuflihu al-zalimun. My Lord has given me an excellent place of stay, and the wrongdoers do not succeed. Yani, if I commit the sin, then I would be a wrongdoer and I would never be successful. I seek refuge with Allah. And the one who leaves a sin out of the fear of Allah, not because they were unable to do it, not because they were too weak to do it, they were too chicken to do it. No, they literally left it out of the fear of Allah alone. And they had the ability to do it, the opportunity to do it, the strength to do it. They could commit the sin very easily, but they stayed away. They chose to stay away out of the fear of Allah. Then this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will greatly honor on the Day of Judgment. Because we learn that one of the seven types of people under the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment will be the person who was invited to commit zina. Right? And he rejected that invitation, saying, Inni akhafu Allah, I fear Allah. And it's only the fear of Allah because of which this person stayed away from sin. And many people, they don't commit sin. Why? Because a particular sin. Why? Because they never have the opportunity. Okay? Or they're afraid of people. Right? This person leaves a sin, stays away from a sin, out of the fear of Allah. That's the only thing that prevents them from committing the sin. And this is something very, very powerful, truly admirable. And it shows the strength of one's character, their integrity, their faith. So when a person stays away from committing a sin, especially after having the opportunity to commit the sin, even having the urge or the thought, the intention to commit the sin, but they choose to leave it, then what happens? The angel who is recording our deeds is actually instructed to write a good deed. A good deed, because a person intended to commit a sin, was able to, but chose not to, decided to leave the sin, not commit it. So then a good deed is recorded for that person. Now there's a number of lessons that we can take from this ayah. Right. First of all, we see in this ayah how people vary in their nature, in their demeanor, in their thinking, in their character, right, in their disposition. We see that Qabil, Cain, is so impulsive, right? He's jealous. He's angry, he's out of control, he is blaming his brother. Instead of looking inward, he is accusing his brother, and he's coming full force, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, I am going to kill you, right? And he doesn't care about the fact that, you know, it's his own brother. He doesn't care about the fact that it's not his brother's fault. And he's so out of control. And in contrast, Habil, Abel, is so composed, so calm in response to Qabil. Qabil says, Inni l'aqtulannak, I am going to kill you. Imagine if someone says to you, I'm going to kill you, what are you going to do? You're going to say, how dare you? How dare you? And before they can do anything, we would assault them, we would strike them, we would say something to them in order to chase them away, or in order to show them that we are stronger. So Habil is so composed, so deliberate, and he has so much self-regulation. And from his speech, it is very clear that his goal is to somehow prevent his brother from committing murder, right? And he wants to save himself and also his brother from sin. And he wants to solve the problem over here. Some people don't like to solve the problem. They just like to continuously fuel the fire. They want to have the last word, always. That no matter what someone says, they have to say something in order to have the last word. So this perpetuates and increases the argument, the altercation. It doesn't lead us anywhere, right? It doesn't solve the problem. Habil is so focused on solving the problem over here. And he's so peaceful. He's so calm. So people vary in their behaviors. Okay? Not everyone you meet is going to be the same as another person that you've always dealt with. People are different in their nature, in their mannerisms. However, not all people are the same in their rank, in the sight of Allah, right? The one whose character is good has a higher position near Allah. The one who is more calm and composed and peaceful and focused on sulh, right? Their rank is going to be higher near Allah. We learn in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to some people, "Shall I not inform you of the best of you from the worst of you? Shall I not tell you about who the best among you is and who the worst among you is?" The people said, and the people were silent. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated the question 3 times. And then a man said, "Of course, O Messenger of Allah, please tell us about the best of us from the worst of us." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of you is the one whose goodness is hoped for." The best of you is the one who, as soon as you know they come somewhere, people expect that they will get something good from them. Okay? Goodness is hoped for. And his goodness is hoped for. People are happy to see him. People are happy with his presence. Why? Because they know that now they're going to benefit. This person is going to bring some kind of relief, some kind of benefit. And people are safe from his evil. And the worst of you is he whose goodness is not hoped for, and people are not safe from his evil. Meaning the moment this person enters, people become agitated, they become nervous, they become anxious that, oh, she's here now, and now she's going to say something hurtful, she's going to say something that's going to be annoying, there's going to be some kind of argument. So this is the sign of the person who is worst among people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So be of those whose goodness is hoped for and other people are safe from our evil. Don't be of those whose goodness is not hoped for and people are not safe from their evil. May Allah protect us. Then we see over here that Habil and Qabil are two brothers and they are the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah, all right, righteous man, and look at his sons. One is so good and the other is not. And yes, this happens. Sometimes you see in the same family, one person is righteous and another is not. In fact, you see so much difference between the nature of children from the same family. Both have been raised by the same parents in the same household. But one child is very calm, very composed, and the other is always on edge, very rude and harsh. So this is not always in our control, okay? Any people vary in their nature, and this is why sometimes a righteous person can have children who are not righteous. Then we see over here from this ayah that it is not permissible for a believer to kill another believer, right? Which is why Habil is so strongly controlling himself, and he's making it very clear that I am not going to try to kill you. because I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. I am not going to try to kill you. That is never going to be my intention. I am not going to fight you back over here because I don't want to kill you. Killing is haram. Allah does not approve of it. And I am afraid of Allah. So this shows us that killing another Muslim, and he without a reason, without just cause, is not permissible. Murder is impermissible. Another thing we see over here is that Habil makes it clear as to why he is not going to fight back, why he's not going to try to kill Qabil. And this is necessary, that sometimes, you know, you do something or you inform someone about what you are going to do or what you're not going to do, and you don't explain the reason. Explain the reason. This is necessary because people don't always understand what is happening inside of your mind. They don't always understand why you're doing something or why you are going to do something or not going to do something, right? But especially in this situation where you are where you are being non-violent, okay, non-confrontational, where you're not responding, okay, you're not responding to evil with evil. Here, it is necessary to make it clear that I am not responding over here, not because I am unable, not because I am weak, not because I'm afraid, but because I don't want to commit a sin. This is similar to how the Prophet ﷺ told us that fasting is a shield. So when one of you is fasting, he should avoid, rafath, and he should not behave foolishly, right? And if somebody fights with him or abuses him, he should tell him, I am fasting, I am fasting. And he's not going to respond to the foolishness and the argument. He's not going to indulge in that argumentation. But he's also going to make it clear why he's not going to indulge in that argumentation. He's going to say, I am fasting. So make it clear why you are not engaging in a hostile conversation, okay? Because you are fasting, or because you're afraid of Allah, or because this conversation is not fruitful anymore. Another thing we learn from this ayah is that the Muslim does not harm another Muslim by his hands or his tongue. The Prophet ﷺ was asked which of the Muslims is the best. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the one from whose hand and tongue other Muslims are safe. And the example of this is Habil, where he was able to fight back. He was able to kill his brother. But he said he was not going to do that out of the fear of Allah. So this makes a person the best Muslim. And it is not possible for us to have such level of, you know, composure and calm and self-regulation without having the ability to forgive others and overlook their faults. Okay? The thing is that when we just get angry, okay, and we act on that anger, and we say something out of that anger, we do something out of that anger, it only leads us further and further into being angry and vengeful. It doesn't solve any problem. But when you focus your attention on forgiving and pardoning, then you are able to focus on something that is much better, right? And you think about it, if you are doing something and your child, your toddler comes in, you know, asks for the pen that you're using and you refuse to give it because you're using it, but he insists and he starts screaming and throwing a tantrum, are you going to start throwing a tantrum in response? No, because you're an adult. It doesn't befit you to throw a tantrum over there. What befits you over there is that, okay, you just give the pen and you take another one, right? You don't perpetuate the problem over there. You have to focus on solving the problem. But you cannot solve the problem without forgiving the other. So if you think that, oh, this child of mine is so disrespectful, so rude. This is unrealistic. This is very foolish of you to think like that because it's a two-year-old. What do you do with the two-year-old? You ignore that behavior, right? You overlook that behavior. You pardon that behavior. And you focus on what needs to be done. And likewise, if we deal with other people in the same way, that they're having an adult tantrum, okay? They're not able to control themselves. They're too weak inside to control themselves. They should be stronger, but they're being weak. So I'm just going to overlook this behavior. I'm going to ignore it and focus on my work. So those who forgive others and pardon others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them and pardons them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises them in degree. Right? Fa'fu yu'izzukum Allah. Pardon people and Allah will honor you. And when a person shows pardon to others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them in their dignity. Man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. And especially when someone, and another important thing we learn from this ayah is that when someone wants to harm us, someone does not want good for us, our heart should be so clean that we still should wish good for them. Because this is what's happening with Habil over here. Habil is saying what he's saying because he ultimately wants to stop Qabil from committing murder. He wants good for his brother. And then we learn from this ayah that the one who truly fears Allah does not commit wrong, even if the ability to do wrong, the opportunity to do wrong is right before them. Okay. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Inni uridu an tabu'a bi ithmi wa ithmika fatakuna min ashab an-nar wa dhalika jaza'u adh-dhalimin. Habil said, indeed, I want you to obtain thereby my sin and your sin. So you will be among the companions of the fire, and that is the recompense of wrongdoers. Now we see over here that Habil continues to advise his brother. Right? First he says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen, meaning some introspection is required over here. Look inward, please. Don't blame me. And then he says, if you extend your hand in order to try to kill me, I am not going to do that. I am not going to try to kill you because I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. So basically, he's telling his brother that we are supposed to be brothers, not people who try to kill each other and fear Allah. Now he gives him another warning. Okay. And this warning is a very strong warning. And it is that I want you to obtain thereby, meaning if you kill me, you're going to take my sin and your sin. And then you will be among the companions of the fire. And that is a recompense of wrongdoers. Meaning you're doing something terribly wrong. And the outcome of this crime is Jahannam. It is an-nar. It is the fire. And you will end up with your own sin and also my sin. So what are you doing? And sometimes you have to remind the other person of the truth, even if the truth hurts, even if it comes across as very strong. But you have to remind them of it in order to wake them up, in order to make them realize the gravity, the severity of what they're about to do. So Habil says over here that Inni uridu an tabu'a bi ithmi wa ithmik. I want you to obtain thereby my sin and your sin. You need the reason why I am not going to fight you back. I am not going to be the first to assault is because I want that you incur all of the sin, your sin and my sin. Okay. Here, Habil does not want bad for his brother. Okay. This is just a style of speech in order to remind his brother, in order to advise him, in order to make him realize the severity of what he's doing. Now, when he says that I want that you end up with my sin and your sin, okay, what does this mean? My sin and your sin. My sin means the sin of killing me. Ithmi, meaning the ithm of killing me, the sin of killing me. And ithmik, your sin, refers to the other sins that Qabil had committed. So if you kill me, then you're going to end up with not just the sins that you've already committed, but along with that, you're also going to incur the sin of killing me. And this is a lot of sin altogether, a lot of sin. And you're going to end up in the fire, and that is the recompense of those who do wrong. Another interpretation is that my sin and your sin means literally my sin, okay, of attempting to kill you, if I were to do that, all right? But I am not going to do that. So I'm not going to do that. Why? So that you take all of the sin. Okay? And your sin, meaning your the sin of your attempt to kill me. Okay? So we learn in a hadith that explains this. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that when two Muslims meet and one of them bears arms against his brother, they're both on the brink of hell. And if one of them kills the other, they will both enter hell. In another version, we learn when two Muslims meet with their swords, the one who kills and the one who is killed will go to hell. So the Prophet ﷺ was asked that the killer, we understand why he's going to be in hell, but why the one who is killed? The Prophet ﷺ explained, because he was eager to kill his companion. Right? So Habil said over here that I am not even going to try to kill you. Why? So that you take all of the sin. Because if I want to, if I try to kill you, then I'm going to have some sin. Even if you end up killing me, the sin will be mine. Some sin will be mine. So I don't want any share of the sin. I want you to take all of it. So I am not going to try to kill you. I don't intend to kill you. You want to kill me? Go ahead and do that and take all of the sin. This is another interpretation. There's another, a third interpretation of this, and it is that I want you to take all of my sins on the day of judgment. And also your sins. Okay? Because we learn that the Prophet ﷺ explained that on the day of judgment, a man will come with a whole lot of good deeds. And he will think that because of all those good deeds, he will attain salvation. He will enter paradise. But people will come and demand justice from him because he had committed some kind of injustice, some kind of oppression against them. So what will happen? Some of his good deeds will be given to them. Then more people will come and demand justice. So more of his good deeds will be given to them. And more people will come and more of his good deeds will be given to them until none of his good deeds will remain. But then guess what? There are still more people coming demanding justice. Okay? So in that case, what's going to happen? Their sins will be given to him. More people will come demanding justice. More sins of people will be given to him. And so where he showed up with a whole lot of good deeds, he will end up with what? Only sins. His own sins and also the sins of others that he had committed injustice against. And especially because we see that when a person initiates something evil, then all those who follow him, he will have their sin also. وَلَيَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالَ مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ They will carry their own burdens and also the burdens of all those of others. Who are these others? Those that this person had committed injustice against. So Habil is giving a very strong warning to his brother that do you realize what you're about to do? You're going to end up with my sin and your sin. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ And that is a recompense of those who do wrong. Now this shows us that Habil only said this when he knew that Qabil, Cain, was very serious and that he had firmly intended to kill him and he was going to kill him now. Right? So he said this as a final warning. And it's also possible that he said this as a dua, yani a dua against Qabil. And it is permissible for the one who is oppressed to pray against the one who oppresses him. Okay, so he's gradually advising his brother, and each piece of advice becoming stronger than the previous. First, he says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from those who are righteous. So please introspect instead of blaming me. Then he says that if you're going to try to kill me, I am not going to try to kill you, right? We are brothers. We're not supposed to be trying to kill each other. And even if you try to kill me, I am not going to try to kill you because I fear Allah. So you should also fear Allah. He's making him have some fear of Allah. And then thirdly, we see that he's making him realize the gravity of the crime of murder, that this is zulm, and this will bring to you a whole lot of sin, yours and mine, and you're going to end up, فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ, you're going to end up being of the companions of the fire. Because this is the outcome of those who kill others. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا, the one who kills a believer deliberately, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ, his recompense is hell, خَالِدًا فِيهَا, he will abide there eternally. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah will be angry with him. وَلَعَنَهُ, and Allah will curse him. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, and Allah has prepared for him a great punishment. And then he tells him, وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ, that is a recompense of the wrongdoers. And being in hell, being of the companions of the fire, this is the recompense of those who do wrong. So those who do wrong end up incurring a lot of sin, and this is their ultimate outcome. It is Jahannam. We learn in a hadith, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu reported about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned him about, you know, the upcoming trials and tribulation. And Abu Dharr kept asking him that, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what do you order me to do? What should I do? And at one point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him that you must stay at home, meaning do not partake in the tribulation, in the fitna. Do not engage in any act of violence. So Abu Dharr asked that, what if people enter my house and find me? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you are afraid the gleam of the sword may dazzle you, then put the end of your garment over your face in order that the one who kills you may bear the punishment of your sins and his. يَبُوءُ بِإِثْمِكَ وَإِثْمِهِ, meaning, this shows us that the one who kills the other unjustly ends up incurring not just his own sins, but also the sins of the one whom he has killed. So the قاتل, the killer, is in a lose-lose situation. Now there's a number of lessons that we can take from this. First of all, we learn about the gravity of initiating evil, initiating bad practices. And as we will learn in the upcoming verses, that in the following verses, that Qabil, when he killed his brother, ended up incurring his own sin, the sin of his brother, and also the sins of all those who followed him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that none is killed unjustly, but the first son of Adam, meaning Qabil, will have a part of its burden. Why? Because he established the tradition of murdering. So be very careful. What kind of traditions and practices do you initiate, do you set up, do you establish in places that you go, in people that you live with, in people that you are around? Okay. What kind of practices do you establish? Because if you start something good and others follow you in doing that, then you accumulate a lot of good. But if you invent something that is wrong, that is sinful, that is oppressive, and others follow you, like for example, if you start teasing someone and then everybody around you begins to tease them, and that eventually turns into bullying, then all of that bullying, who is responsible for it? You are, because you initiated that. If you start backbiting someone, okay, and then everyone continues to talk bad about that individual, who is going to take the majority of the blame over here? It's you, because you initiated that. So be very careful about this. In any setting, what kind of actions are you doing and what precedent are you setting, right? And what legacy are you leaving? What practices are you establishing? If it's a good practice, the reward is huge. If it's a bad practice, then the sin is also great. Now, another thing that we can truly admire in the character of Habil, of Abel, the one who was killed, the one whose sacrifice was accepted, is his ability to self-regulate in such a tricky situation. You see, we all find ourselves in situations where people say things to us or do things that cause us to feel constricted in our chest, right? And when you feel constricted in your chest, it's only human to want to respond to people, to take some kind of revenge, to voice your feelings, to express how you feel about them, and to take some kind of revenge. But if we act on impulse, somebody says something rude, we get angry, and that anger, we want to say something right away. So if we respond without thinking, then we can actually say things that are very damaging, not just to them, but also to our deeds. We can say things that can be a source of great regret for us. So remember that between emotion and action, there is a space where we decide if and how to respond. Majority of the people, what happens with them is that this space is very tiny. So they end up acting impulsively without thinking through. Okay? So like Qabil, what happened? His sacrifice is not accepted. He gets angry. He says, لأقتلنك. He doesn't think through. He just says, I'm going to kill you. He doesn't think about the gravity of what he's about to do. He doesn't think about how he needs to change his intentions and his actions. He just blames his brother and he says, I'm going to kill you. And then he acts on that impulse, right? Why? Because that capacity inside to think through is very limited. That space is very tiny. Now, that basically means that self-regulation skills are not there at all. So it is possible to have self-regulation skills, which basically enable a person to take a pause between feeling and action. And you're feeling hurt, you're feeling annoyed, you're feeling humiliated, you're feeling angry. But if you have self-regulation, that means that you will take a pause before taking an action. That pause means you're going to take the time to think through. You're going to make a plan. You're going to wait. You're going to decide to do what aligns with your values, what is actually going to help you in your long-term goals, right? So basically, self-regulation is the ability to manage impulses. Okay? It is the ability to think before acting. Okay, now many people lack self-regulation. How do you develop self-regulation skills? There's a lot of research that shows that, first of all, mindfulness. Okay, mindfulness is something that helps us develop self-regulation skills. Basically, mindfulness is that you pay attention to things. Okay, you pay attention to the present moment. And when you practice mindfulness, so for example, through focused breathing, through daily gratitude, you develop the ability to think things through, to focus on, you know, to pay more attention, to be more present in the moment. This gives you the ability to also hold your reins when you are in a very heated conversation or when you're feeling angry. So your skills that you have developed through mindfulness will help you not act impulsively. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already taught us how to develop mindfulness. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, He addresses His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know that your chest is constricted because of what people say. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. So exalt Allah with praise of your Lord and be of those who prostrate to Him. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching His Messenger to do in order to expand his chest, in order to ensure that he doesn't feel constricted inside when people say hurtful things to him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do tasbih and to pray salah. And by Allah, these are two things, wallahi, these are two things that improve your ability to have self-regulation. When you do tasbih, what are you doing? You are focusing on the glory of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. You are forced to slow things down, right? Think about Allah's glory and pay attention to what you're saying. You're practicing mindfulness. When you pray salah, you're supposed to have khushur. If you pray properly, you're supposed to be focused in and attentive in your salah, humble in your salah. Not thinking about every random thing, not rushing through your prayer, but being humble in your prayer. So if you pray properly, you pray consistently, you will develop a certain level of mindfulness and the ability to not act on impulse. Right? Another thing that helps people develop self-regulation skills is something that is called cognitive reappraisal, which is basically to reinterpret a situation in order to change your emotional response to it. Okay? So for example, somebody says something in a snappy way to you, and you could say, you could think, how dare she speak to me like that? Okay? This is so disrespectful. This is so wrong. This is not acceptable. Okay? And the other is that you challenge yourself over there and you say, huh, she is being snappy. She is being rude. I wonder what the issue is over here. Is she tired? Is she hungry? Is she feeling unheard? Is she feeling that I am ignoring her? What's happening over here? So you go with a curious mind and you talk to them and you find out that the situation is, you know, much different. So this is basically called husnul dhan, to think good of others. Right? So when you think good of others and you think that other people are good inside, they have the potential to change, right? They have the potential to change, then my goal is to advise them and to help them be the best version of themselves. And this is what we see Habil is doing. Habil is constantly advising his brother. And even in that tense moment, he says to him, Allah only accepts from the righteous. He says to him, if you try to attack me, I am not going to do that because I fear Allah. He says to him that, you know, he warns him about the punishment of hell. So what's he focused on? He's focused on preventing his brother from committing the crime of murder, right? So he is thinking of how he can save his brother. Not just save himself, but also save his brother. So self-regulation is a very, very important skill. It's not just one skill, it's many skills. It's related to emotions and behavior. And this is something incredibly important because if we don't have it, it can actually cause a lot of problems in our lives. It can cause us to be unable to handle stress and difficult situations. It can result in anger. It can result in anxiety. It can result in saying things that are very hurtful and damaging. And it can be a source of great regret if we don't observe, if we don't practice self-regulation skills. So one of the things that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, especially in these days and nights of Ramadan, is that, oh Allah, grant me sabr. Grant me good akhlaq. Right? Grant me calmness and gentleness, because these are all factors that help us manage our behavior, our words, and our manage our behavior in tough situations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all hikmah. Inshallah, we'll conclude over here for today, and tomorrow will be the last session in Ramadan about the story of Habil and Qabil. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته